For most of us, getting around Kansas City is a matter of finding the road with the least traffic and no construction. But for some of us, the problems are more specific than that. Is there a bike lane, or will I have to dodge the cars? Can I get to the movies or go to the doctor if I don't even have a car? I'm Brian Ellison. Today on Central Standard, we look at planning for the region's infrastructure needs. First, we'll talk transportation and ask whether we worry too much about speed and efficiency at the expense of making a city where people, and not just cars, want to live. Then we'll focus on a part of our population that will double in size in the next 20 years, those over age 65. They'll have transportation needs too, and also housing and health care. You'd be right to ask, are we really ready? Getting around and getting older in KC, ahead on Central Standard after the news. For what and for whom does a city exist? And if you're a city planner or a public official, how do you make your ideas about what a city should be actually happen? Pretty basic questions, but incredibly tough to answer because every plan seems good to somebody. Retirement home for an aging population, of course. Streetcars, yes, they're functional and fun. How about just having enough sidewalks and bike lanes and sufficient parking? It's more complicated than you think. I'm Brian Ellison. Today on Central Standard, we tackle age-old and always new questions about infrastructure and transportation in the Kansas City Metro. Later this hour, we'll focus on questions about how to accommodate an aging population with our housing and transportation systems. But first, an even more basic look at our city streets. Eric Bunch is Director of Education of Bike Walk KC. They work to make the metro area friendlier to those who want to do something besides drive cars all the time. Eric, welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot.
It's good to have you here. So how does Kansas City rate anyway when it comes to its friendliness to bikers and pedestrians?
Generally, I think it's more friendly to bicycling and pedestrians than I think a lot of people want to admit.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is just because there's a lot of space for bicyclists. And I think generally, and some people may argue with this, but I think drivers are relatively friendly compared to places where there's a little bit more competition for all the space. We're very fortunate to have a lot of space. And thankfully, I think a lot of people get around and share that space pretty well.
Was it always this way, or that it was fairly friendly, or do you think there have been big strides?
Oh, I think there have been major improvements, and I think the biggest improvement is just the existence of more people who want to get around without a car. More people returning to the urban core, more people wanting to ride a bike places, and that's what makes us all safer, is just the I guess the ever-present existence of bicyclists, and that's making it a lot better. And then the city also is really jumping on board and doing a lot of great things as well.
Well, you should mention that Eric will be speaking this Saturday afternoon at the TEDx UMKC event. That's in the Miller-Nichols Library here at UMKC. There are tickets available, and we'll have information, a link to that site, at our website, which is kcur.org. Go to the Central Standard page. Eric, let's talk about some specifics when it comes to Kansas City's streets. What very specifically do we do well, in your view?
Well, we accommodate cars really well.
Okay.
I'm not saying that that's something something to be proud of, but that's one thing that we do have as an asset, and it is an asset because cars do serve a very distinct purpose, and they've afforded us a lot of freedom. But we've over invested in that infrastructure, and now it's time to sort of diversify our portfolio, so to speak. If Kansas City's transportation network were an investment portfolio, it would be pretty bleak because we're not diversified at all. And so now it's time to start investing in the alternatives, like streetcar downtown is one thing that's happening that's very positive. I think that that's something to be very proud of, to see a local effort really result in some tangible results. But also start investing in returning some of that public space, the public right-of-way, to the people, not just for cars. We've planned our city around cars and not people.
Well, and you know, I think a lot of listeners will hear that and say, well, of course we have. I mean, we need cars too. There hasn't been a streetcar. There haven't been other ways to get around. People are coming in from a broad metro area. Isn't that a good and important thing?
Well, sure. The reason why we don't have a streetcar and why our metropolitan area is so sprawled is precisely because we've overinvested in auto transportation.
And when you say overinvested, you mean that we've given too much attention to major highways in and out of the city, too much attention to filling potholes on the street? What do you mean?
No, adding capacity to our roadways. But what I'm more interested in is the fact that a lot of streets that were once vibrant places to run businesses, to have pedestrians, to create a sense of place, have been converted to more or less little expressways. Like, look at Broadway through Midtown.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the businesses that once thrived there are struggling because now it's a high speed road that people just speed past all of those businesses, and now we have a lot of urban blight as a result. And so, yeah, we don't have a streetcar, we don't have great public transit, but all of that is by design because we overinvested in adding capacity and only that one mode of transportation.
So does that mean that you would suggest instead that we actually try to slow down traffic on those streets rather than make them so easily accessible, so efficient?
Well, I think the important thing is to distinguish between what a road is and what a street is. And
okay, what's the difference?
Well, a road connects two places. It connects point A to point B. It's, you know, Kansas City, downtown Kansas City to Olathe, or downtown Kansas City to Lee's Summit, or Lee's Summit to Olathe, or whatever. A street is something, is a public space to circulate people inside those places. And so Broadway originally was a street. All of our urban streets, all of our what now are, I like to call them more or less car sewers, is that those have been we've attempted a long time ago, and this isn't happening as much today because we're starting to realize the error that we made a long time ago. But a long time ago, we decided to combine those two concepts and tried to make roads and streets kind of function as one and the same. We tried to shuttle people in and out of the city quickly on our streets, but we also tried to maintain the street-like atmosphere and maintain the businesses and all of that. But unfortunately, it doesn't work.
Why did it once work and not anymore?
Well, it doesn't. It never did work.
Oh, okay.
It's as soon as we widened our streets and took out the streetcars and gave that space to cars, people were able to shuttle themselves out and head to the suburbs and make those commutes shorter. So I'm not necessarily saying slow down traffic, but consider the difference between a street that functions to circulate people within a place, and distinguish that and engineer for that for circulating people, not cars, but people. Maybe people in cars, maybe people on bikes, people walking, but distinguish between that and a road that functions to get strictly from point A to point B, and don't put businesses along those roads. Don't allow for development to happen along roads, because that's when we sort of combine the two, and that's not exactly a good way to make a vibrant community.
I want to check in with our listeners and see if you agree with Eric Bunch of Bike Walk KC that Kansas City should devote more resources to making the city friendlier to bikes, pedestrians, other modes of transportation that would make the metro more livable as he sees it, not just efficient, not just getting cars through quickly. Give us a quick call at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888 with your thoughts about transportation in Kansas City and how much we should be valuing moving cars quickly in and around the city. Eric, I guess I wonder if I could challenge you to give us some specific examples of town. You mentioned Broadway, for example, a place where businesses have shut down because cars just drive right on past them. What are some other examples of places this is not going well in Kansas City right now?
Look at all the major streets through the crossroads, Main Street, Oak, Locust, McGee, really, really wide streets. A lot of them once actually held streetcars, held streetcar lines, and they were, we gave space back to cars once the streetcars were taken out. And so I think those are all examples and that are now starting to come back. We're adding that streetcar on Main, and that's, I think, helping bolster some development along there. But Southwest Trafficway didn't always exist. That was added to specifically to get people from downtown, from their jobs in downtown, to either the suburbs in kind of southern Johnson County or southern Kansas City along Ward Parkway, and it did so very well and did so effectively that it allowed people to migrate out of the city. But there are examples of streets that we've converted back. Like I just noticed Power and Light District, for all it's somewhat controversial, but some of the streets that they've kind of reclaimed, they've converted them back to two ways, one ways back to two ways, and they've mm-hmm. narrowed them down. They've added kind of traffic calming measures to slow the speeds down a little bit.
Like what?
So what they call bulb outs at the intersections, kind of puts the pedestrian farther out so that the crossing distance across the street is shorter, and it puts parallel parked cars behind those bulb outs so that it gives the sense that the street's actually narrower than it is. It doesn't change safety, but it changes the comfort level for drivers.
Right.
And you make it less comfortable for a driver to go fast, and they slow down.
Yeah. And I guess I can see, even in thinking about my own habits, like I would avoid that part of town now if I was trying to drive through. And you're saying that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think cutting down on some of the through traffic is not necessarily a bad idea. But it's not a place that you want to avoid. In general, it's a place that you may want to avoid to cut through, and that's sort of the kind of what it all boils down to is it's a place for people to move about inside that place. That public space is now a place to circulate people, and not a place for people to cut through to get to from point A to point B.
Yeah, I guess I wonder, is your concern here with particular planning decisions, or is it more of a cultural concern? I mean, are you working against a Midwestern car culture? I mean, you might find similar situations with this in many cities across this part of the country.
Well, there are cities who are doing a very good job of this. Minneapolis is in the Midwest, and it's converting a lot of its streets to more bicycle. And it's one of the most bike-friendly cities in the country. It has the third highest bicycle commuter rates in the country. Chicago is a Midwestern city, and they are giving space to people again. And Denver is a great example of a city that's becoming very walkable. They're becoming bikeable by the day. They just installed a downtown protected bikeway, which is a pretty progressive thing for a city that is in the middle of the country. And so I don't think that it's fighting culture. It's fighting a long line of kind of not necessarily the best planning decisions and the best transportation policy decisions.
Sure. There are obviously some initiatives always on the table to address transportation here in Kansas City. Is there anything in particular that you would lift up as positive and worth celebrating?
Well, Kansas City, Missouri is undergoing an update of their bicycle master plan, which I think is very valuable. That's going to help guide some decisions and guide the engineering decisions as they come up when a street gets repaved. What's the matrix of options to add bicycle facilities to that particular street? That's a very positive development. The area plans, the downtown area plan, has just been completed just in the last year, and it is chock full of these ideas, these traffic calming measures to, again, take our street, take our car sewers, turn them back into streets, and regain a sense of place in downtown. And then the Midtown Plaza area plan is underway, and I feel it's going to be very similar. The Historic Northeast has their area plan called the Truman Plaza area plan. Again, all of these are listening to the people and what they want, and what they're saying loud and clear is that they want space for themselves, space for them to walk, space for them to bike, and cut down on the car infrastructure, right, just a little bit.
Right. Let's take some calls at 816-235-2888, 235-2888. Al in Olathe, welcome to Central Standard.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, I agree with the topic, and I wanted to share that I just got back from a week in Portland visiting my son and his wife. I live way out in Olathe, or I need a car to get around the Kansas City metro area. But in Portland, that's not the case. Very bike-friendly.
Okay, I think we're having a little trouble hearing you, Al. You sound like you're maybe losing signal. But suggesting there are other cities that are better equipped than Kansas City. You want to respond to that, Eric?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Portland is a fantastic example of what can be done with a combined effort between transportation policy, development policy, land use policy, and regional cooperation. One thing that Portland has done that since the caller mentioned Olathe and being far out and having to have a car to get around, one thing that Portland has done, which is a fairly progressive thing for the United States, is that they instituted an urban growth boundary that has basically said this is a ring around our metro area and you cannot grow outside of that. You can't develop outside of that. So no leapfrog developments, no large housing developments outside of that. And they maintain that for green space. And what that's done is it's allowed the suburbs to densify and kind of makes transit work. And so, you know, he may not have to have a car to get around the Portland area because there's great transit there.
We got a tweet from Kathleen, who writes on Twitter, "My big pet peeve is how pedestrian unfriendly most of Johnson County is. I would love to walk more if it were safer." We've been talking a lot about sort of downtown Kansas City, Missouri, and some of the roads in and out of there. But what about Johnson County?
Well, one thing to remember about the suburban development is that it was part of the expanding car culture. And when we started investing in that American icon, the automobile, we created spaces that were developed specifically around access for the automobile.
So do well exactly what they were designed to do.
Yeah, and that's not to say that they can't be retrofitted. There's a lot of research going on right now, and there's some great TED Talks about retrofitting the suburbs. Hmm. And one specifically is, and I can't recall the name of the talk or the name of the presenter, but if you search retrofitting the suburbs, I'm sure on Google it would pop up. And it shows examples around and there are great examples here in the metro area where there's reinvestment in old downtowns like Old Overland Park, Old Lee Summit, and new developments. Not all of them are the best, but Park Place, like Park Place in Leawood, Zona Rosa up north, they're not ideal, but they're examples of how we've kind of taken this old urban fabric, this old concept of creating streets that are not solely for the purpose of shuttling cars in and out. They're streets for creating sense of place, and so that can happen in the suburbs, but it's pretty difficult. And proximity is also another key indicator for walkability as well. And so if you're not close to where you need to get to go, it's going to make walkability fairly tough.
Let's try to take a few more calls here in the time that we have left. Lots of interest in this topic at 816-235-2888. Stephanie in Grandview, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I actually do not think that bikes should be on the street. I don't think people should ride their bicycles on the street at all.
Why is that, and Stephanie? You're talking to the education director of Bike Walk KC, so he's going to argue against you. Why do you think that's the case?
Yeah. Well, the reason I think that is because it's I think it's extremely dangerous. Whenever I do encounter a bike, there are cars going around those cyclists. They go into the lane due to oncoming traffic. The cars get backed up. I mean, long ago, I lived in Seattle, and there didn't seem to be a problem there because Seattle, I might be dating myself a little bit, but they had bike lanes, and bike lanes seemed to work really well. Or keep the bicycle on the sidewalks because, even though I think that's illegal for them actually, but I think a cyclist can actually maneuver around walking people much better than huge vehicles or small cars can maneuver around a cyclist.
Okay,
on the road.
Stephanie,
sometimes the cyclist will be right in the middle of the street, sometimes on the side, but the bottom line is there's no room for them.
Okay, appreciate that, Stephanie. We've got a lot of calls here. Let me give Eric a chance to respond. And Stephanie's not alone, by the way. We had another caller, John, who couldn't stay on the line, but he said he thought bikes should stay off the roads completely. What do you think?
There are kind of two comments to that. One is that bicyclists have a legal right to the road, And the only way that that would change is if you lobby your state legislature.
Okay, but let's assume she would do that. Why shouldn't they make it illegal for bikes to be on the road?
Well, people have to have an option to get around, and that's the biggest thing. It's just because you chose to drive a car doesn't mean that I should be required to use that option as well. But besides that, I think this gets at the point that we need to have some – in some cases, we need to make investments in alternative transportation facilities. So investing in bike lanes is going to help sort of alleviate some of that that competition for space on the roadways. And another point about sidewalks is that riding on the sidewalks is actually very dangerous. Sidewalks are designed for about 4 miles per hour, and bicyclists should not be riding on sidewalks.
For either the pedestrians or the bicyclists.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's take one more call. Eileen in Overland Park, welcome to Central Standard.
Oh, hello. Thank you for having me on air.
You bet.
Basically, I am arguing that cheaper, cleaner transportation opportunities lower the barrier of entry to better jobs and incite economic growth. And I believe Kansas City is prime real estate. It's flat. It would be able to establish a hub of high-speed transportation like high-speed rail or Elon Musk's Hyperloop. And that would lead to more integrated opportunities that are available in cities with established public transportation like Chicago. And that could spider out to the suburbs, connect to bike paths that are friendlier to consumers and encourage healthier, more vibrant communities.
Okay, what do you think about Eileen's vision, Eric?
I think the main point that I got out of that, which is something that I agree strongly with, is the social equity piece of that. When you have a undiversified transportation network, you're locking a lot of people out of the job market. If you expect someone to spend $9,000 a year on a car, which is AAA's estimate for how much it costs to own an average sedan, you are telling a lot of people, a lot of low-income individuals, that they cannot get a job. Because if they have to use that mode of transportation to get there, how are they going to maintain that job?
Well, we've really just started the conversation, but unfortunately we have to leave it there. Eric Bunch is the Education Director of Bike Walk KC. He'll be giving a TEDx UMKC talk this Saturday afternoon here at the Millers-Nichols Library at UMKC. You can get more information at our webpage, kcur.org. Eric, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
When we come back, we're turning to a very particular segment of our region's population, but one that is rapidly growing, baby boomers. They're getting older. I'm sorry, but it's true. And that means special challenges for transportation, but also for housing and for more. They're not all moving to Florida, so how does this region get ready for elderly boomers? Stay with us. I'm Brian Ellison. This is Central Standard on KCUR.